Tonight, the minority in parliament makes explosive claims accusing the Bank of Ghana of being technically insolvent and blaming Gold Board's operations for crippling the central bank's balance sheet and pushing it to the brink.
At the end of last year, negative 6.7% of GDP. Our central bank is technically bankrupt, therefore, and the single biggest driver of that collapse in the 2025 was gold operations, Gold Board.
We got details as Minority Leader Alexander Afenyomarkin claims Gold Board is bleeding money but using accounting tricks to disguise losses as profits.
What we are witnessing is a disingenuous accounting arrangement, clean on the surface, dirty in substance, and it is ordinary Ghanaian taxpayer who is left carrying the risk. That ends today. We are asking straightforward questions.
Top stories brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energy's Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a Holy Sleep Shield Pension Trust into the future with you. When we return from the break, we have a full-blown showdown over Ghana's gold and the health of the Bank of Ghana. All coming up after the break. Good evening. This is Top Story. My name is Kenneth Jesse. Tonight, the minority in parliament has turned its guns on the Bank of Ghana, accusing it of being technically insolvent and putting the blame squarely on Gold Board's operations. Over the past few weeks, Minority Leader Alexander Afenyomarkin and Gold Board CEO Sammy Jenfi have traded accusations over the company's operations. The minority insists Gold Board is making losses, but is allegedly cooking the books to present them as profits. However, Gold Board CEO Sammy Jenfi maintains that the company's audit financial statements show otherwise, dismissing the minority leader's claims as a figment of his, quote, hallucinatory imagination, unquote. Well, today, the minority caucus intensified its criticism of Gold Board at a news conference in parliament, insisting that the company's operations have rendered the Bank of Ghana technically insolvent.
The Bank of Ghana's equity stood at negative 93.8 billion cedis at the end of last year. Negative 6.7% of GDP. Our central bank is technically bankrupt, therefore, and the single biggest driver of that collapse in the 2025 was gold operations, Gold Board. Gold Board's own domain, 22 billion cedis. That's equivalent of the 1.7 billion US dollars in 1 year alone. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, let's call it what it is. These losses are not bad luck. You don't trade in gold and make losses. They are not a difficult market. They expose the crass incompetence of Gold Board's management and misaligned policy of the government. No serious institution loses this much money by accident. This is what happens when an untouchable few are handed the nation's gold with no one watching and no one willing to ask questions. Ghanaians have already sacrificed much to keep this economy standing. We tighten our belt for the sake of stability. That is why it is so painful to watch this scheme quietly give away sums that will make any right-thinking citizens weep.
That there was Minority Leader Alexander Afenyomarkin speaking to journalists in Parliament earlier. Well, he also continued his onslaught against the Ghana Gold Board, insisting that it has made losses dressed up as accounting gimmicks.
What we are witnessing is a disingenuous accounting arrangement, clean on the surface, dirty in substance, and it is ordinary Ghanaian taxpayer who is left carrying the risk. That ends today. We are asking straightforward questions, and we expect straightforward answers. Who are the off-takers? Why were sales discounted? And why is the mandate to trade gold on the country's behalf producing losses the country was never told about? Now, let me deal with the numbers Ghana cannot ignore. The IMF tells us that 17% of the value of every ounce of gold sold by the Bank of Ghana simply disappeared. It vanished into the gap between the rates paid to miners and the rate used for the books. Add the fees paid to the middlemen. Add the discounts handed to off-takers. This is not rounding error. This is not teething trouble. This is a structural bleeding of our national purse. And it was not the opposition that found it. I repeat, it was the IMF's own economists. And the government has accepted that indeed these losses are true.
Let's stay a bit longer in the House of Legislature and speak to our resident correspondent Kweku Asante, who was at that particular press conference for us. Kweku, so the minority caucus is accusing Gold Board of taking credit for the positives in the economy while running away from the negative side of its operations. Tell us more.
Well, yes, Ken, they point to what they say is a consistent acknowledgement, so-called, of the Ghana Gold Board in claiming that the economy is in good foot because of the activities of the Gold Board. But they say still, the Gold Board is not willing to accept responsibility for certain things. For instance, on the very vexed questions of, about whether or not the Gold Board has made losses and whether or not the Gold Board's audited financial statements tell the actual story, the minority is clear that, yes, they do agree that if you look at the Gold Board audited financial statement, it is obvious on its face that the Ghana Gold Board made some profits or some surplus. But I say that is not a full picture, because if the Auditor General was exposed to the full facts, it would not have come to that conclusion. Listen to the minority leader.
If every one of those services, service fees and asset fees were collected and kept, why should the losses that came bundled with earning them belong to someone else? You do not get to keep the fees and disown the costs. This is not accounting. That is convenience. And who exactly are these off-takers Gold Board sold discounted gold to? The country deserves an answer. Gold Board is happy to take credit for the foreign exchange it claims to have generated, but it goes quiet the moment we ask about the very trade the discounted sales, the fee arrangement that produced that forex in the first place. You cannot claim the upside of a trade and disown its downside. And let us also be honest about where the real conversation lies. We, the minority, are not here to relegate the profit of Gold Board, the profit Gold Board has published it in its own account. We are here because what happened off the books, the operations, the free fee structures, the discounted sales that made that profit possible in the first place. Substance must always be judged over form. Gold Board took Bank of Ghana's money to assay gold and collect its fees. It cannot claim the credit that comes with the revenue while pushing every loss into Bank of Ghana's balance sheet.
Kweku Asante is still with me. Kweku, the minority leader had a message for the Gold Board CEO following the exchange of words between the two. What exactly did he say?
Well, yes, in fact, apart from actually saying earlier on that the bill conditions of the Ghana Gold Board current management will actually be very scary in the future, He's adamant that whatever is going on now is not personal, and that in fact the Gold Board CEO should tone down on what he called insulting language being used against they in the minority for the issues they are raising against the operation of the Gold Board. And that what they're actually doing is in full favor of Sammy Gyamfi ultimately for the future, and ultimately to ensure that Gold Board is operating at levels that will ensure that the country actually receives optimal benefit.
Head of an institution accused of losing 22 billion Ghana cedis plus in 1 year should not be talking about our tone. He should be talking about his leisure. Ghanaians can see exactly where the weakness lies. According to the Gold Board, other voices can be taken seriously, not ours. But we want to make it clear, nothing said by us is personal. Every figure we are about to give you comes from the IMF. It came from their own report on Ghana, published this very month. If IMF facts sound personal to the Gold Board and its officials, the problem is not ours. The IMF has already told the country where this loss comes from. In its own words, the losses, quote, are a combination of service and asset fees paid to Gold Board, discount on gold sold to off-takers, into bracket exporters, and most importantly, exchange rate losses from the spread between Forex Bureau rate paid to purchase gold and the Cedi reference rate used for BOG accounting, end quote.
Minority Leader Alexander Fanyomakin, well, our research team has been tracking the central bank's performance, particularly its equity position and solvency. And joining me in the studio right now is a member of Joy News Research Desk, Jason Day. Jason, you have been going through the central bank's performance. What can you tell us about its profitability and equity position?
Well, Ken, according to the data that we found, until 2017, the central bank recorded profits ranging from 342 million cedis to a record high of 1.5 billion Ghana cedis, which was recorded in 2012. We tracked the data from 2008 and we found that in 2015, the bank recorded a 1 billion cedi profit, but then it dropped to 709 million cedis in 2016. In 2017, the bank recorded a loss of 1.6 billion cedis, and this loss declined to 798 million cedis, after which the bank recorded profits from 2019 to 2021. The biggest loss was recorded in 2022 at 60.8 billion cedis. We then saw the losses decrease through 2023 and 2024. However, in 2025, Ken, the bank recorded another significant loss of 15.6 billion Ghana cedis, which is the second highest since 2008. Now, on the question of equity, which is the difference between what the bank owes and what it owns, that is the assets and liabilities, we track the data from 2020, and the bank recorded positive equity in 2020 and 2021. However, from 2022 onwards, the bank has recorded negative equity. The highest was 96 billion cedis in 2025. So from 2022 to 2024, we saw negative equity positions, with the highest recorded in 2025, Ken.
So where does the gold board and the issue of solvency come in here?
So this is where the domestic gold purchase program comes in. Because under the program, the Bank of Ghana, through the Ghana Gold Board, purchased Dore gold from artisanal and small-scale miners, which was then exported in its refined unrefined form to international off-takers. The objective was to generate foreign exchange, strengthen Ghana's reserve buffers, and help ease structural pressures on demand for foreign currency, which falls under the Bank of Ghana's mandate. However, according to the IMF, the program recorded a gross loss of about 22 billion Ghana cedis. The Bank of Ghana subsequently realized gains from the sale of some of the gold, while the government also provided some support. These things both helped reduce the overall loss to a net of 9.1 billion Ghana cedis. Now, this brings us to the question of solvency and ultimately the bankruptcy. Because despite recording negative equity of 93 billion Ghana cedis in 2025, the Bank of Ghana says it expects to remain policy solvent over the medium-term planning horizon. What this means is that the bank expects its future income and policy-related resources to be sufficient to continue carrying out its core functions. So it's important, however, to distinguish insolvency from bankruptcy, because insolvency is a financial condition in which an entity cannot meet its obligations, which is what we are seeing right now on the Bank of Ghana books. While bankruptcy is a legal process through which an insolvent entity debts are dealt with. So negative equity does not automatically mean that the Bank of Ghana is bankrupt. The bigger question is whether the bank can continue meeting its obligations and performing its monetary policy functions despite the losses and negative equity. Ken.
Thank you, Jason. Joining the conversation this evening is Fred Che Asamoah. He's the MP for Ofinsu North and also a member on the Economy and Development Committee in Parliament. Godfred Bokpin is also a professor of finance at the University of Ghana. Gentlemen, grateful for your time this evening. Mr. Che Asamoah, let me begin with you, because your leader in Parliament today, Alexander Afenyo-Markin, used a very interesting term. The phrase was that the BOJ is technically insolvent. So what exactly did your leader mean by that? And what figures are you getting from Bank of Ghana's accounts that is leading you to jump into such conclusion, the minority?
Thank you for having me.
Hello, Fred Che Asamoah. Do I have you? Unfortunately, we do not have clear connection to Fred Che Asamoah there, but let's bring in Professor Godfred Bokpin. He's an economist with the University of Ghana. Professor Bokpin, welcome to the program. Do I have you? I'd like you to respond so that I know that I have clear connection to you.
Yes. I'm on the call. Good evening.
Okay. Welcome to the program. Let's begin with the biggest claim that is being churned out, particularly from the minority leader. When politicians say the Bank of Ghana is technically insolvent because it has negative equity, what does that exactly mean in practical terms for the ordinary Ghanaian? And is that even the case as we speak?
Well, thank you very much and good evening. So independent of what the minority has claimed, and of course also what we have heard from the majority, you will notice that a trend has been emerging. So a trend is emerging where politicians, the two main political parties, let me put it that way, knowing very well what they have been doing and the fact that over time we are systematically destroying or impairing the balance sheet of the Bank of Ghana, find it, they take it upon themselves to go the extra mile to indicate either to defend or expose the dangers associated with quasi-fiscal activities. That is what you see at play here. You will recall from the third quarter of 2021 through 2022, when Bank of Ghana had to take on the government on its balance sheet because we had lost market assets, both internationally and then the domestic market. And the defense that the party that was in power at that time put forward to defend the governance of Bank of Ghana at that time. And then also you will notice the position taken by the party in power now, that when they were in opposition, the demonstration that happened calling for the resignation of the governor of Bank of Ghana and all of that. Look, the story is that they know what they are doing. The truth of the matter is that we have found a convenient way of pushing fiscally related costs onto the books of Bank of Ghana that typically should sit on the books of Ministry of Finance. It sits on the books of Ministry of Finance that will manifest explicitly in debt formation. So we may not be able to achieve our debt to GDP ratio target if we take on those fiscal operations. So what we have done over the years is to offload these quasi-fiscal activities onto the books of Bank of Ghana, where the losses, where these costs manifesting in losses will not accrue immediately as part of our public debt. So we get to report a lower debt to GDP ratio because we are not adopting a general government approach to accounting for our debt stock. Meanwhile, huge debt will then sit on the books of Bank of Ghana, which would later require recapitalization from the same fiscal side. This is what we have been doing. So you will see that from 2022, 2023, you could see the losses escalating. And then also, if you look at Gold Board now, the prices of Gold Board, and to the extent that Bank of Ghana has backstopped it virtually in terms of the intermediary role, providing the financing, being the residual risk claimant of this whole domestic gold purchasing arrangement, that also manifests in some losses, technical, economic, okay, and valuation losses on the books of Bank of Ghana, which ordinarily, if Bank of Ghana had not taken on those quasi-fiscal activities, their balance sheet wouldn't have been impaired the way we see it. And some of those losses would have rather gone either to the books of Gold Board or to Ministry of Finance. And is the reason why the IMF consistently, their recommendation has been that if you want to keep the operations of Gold Board going, they don't have a problem with that, but let's shield Bank of Ghana from this exposure. Then we find other ways of mitigating those losses or where those losses should be treated. You will notice, and here, let me say this. In Ghana, we allow pride, arrogance, and a certain lack of humility to cloud policy judgment. Why am I saying this? We knew that Gold Board was going to play a strategic role in terms of crowding in FX. And I have said time and again that with the introduction of Gold Board, we have seen increasing crowding in of FX from gold production from artisanal smelters. There's no doubt about that. If you look at the volume today, and again, if you are tracking in terms of trading data discrepancy between exports of gold from Ghana and then importing countries, you can see that the gap is narrowing, which can be attributable to the operations of Gold Board and all of that. So it's a good intervention. But the question is, should it have come at this higher cost? And the next question is, if we had been transparent and open to suggestions, and if we had examined the value chain approach from the beginning, before we operationalized Gold Board, possibly these losses would have been minimized. We couldn't have eliminated it totally. Possibly it would have been minimized. That's my position. So we designed this intervention, aggressively scaled up its operation without even anticipating the total cost that was going to come along. And why am I saying so?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this because when IMF initially put forward the losses from gold for domestic gold purchasing, and they indicated losses of around 214 million, their response from Gold Board was quite instructive. What was the response? There are no such losses. They were quite categorical. In fact, interestingly, Bank of Ghana itself, at the beginning, doubted IMF estimates and indicated that those estimates were speculative and that we should wait for the end of the year when the auditors audit the account and all of that. That clearly tells me that we couldn't fully anticipate the cost implications across the value chain. We were muddling through, and whatever, if we survive, fine. If we collapse, that is it. But we knew that this was going to bring some FX gains. There's no doubt about that. So, and you can see that, why am I saying this? So now that the cost started manifesting in the volume that we have seen, the discussion had been, let's highlight the gains so that it is more or less overshadow the cost we have incurred. So today the argument is that if you look at the macroeconomic gains and all of that, as if to suggest that even if we lose this entire country for this stability, it will not be compared to the stability we are having. That's a cheap position to hold.
Professor Buckthing, hold on for me. Don't go yet. Fred Che Asamoah is joining the conversation as well. He's the MP for Ofinso North. He's also the MPP member on the Economy and Development Committee in Parliament. Mr. Che Asamoah, welcome to the program. Do I have you?
Fine. Thank you. I'm on the road, so deadline is a bit on and off.
Your leader in Parliament, Alexander Afenyo-Barkin, held a press conference earlier today claiming that the Bank of Ghana is technically bankrupt. So what exactly did he mean by that? Those are the questions that many are asking, because yes, it is true that there's been a report of net equity for the past 4 years since 2022, but does that amount to it being technically bankrupt, as it's been asserted to by the NPP? And on what basis are you making such allegations?
Yes, so if your liabilities tend to exceed your assets, definitely technically...
You would have to speak up for me, sir.
I'm saying that if your liabilities tend to exceed your assets, then technically you can say that one is insolvent. It was on that basis that he made this allegation, even though we are looking at our net assets of about 107 billion. That is the foreign assets. Whilst you also looking at your domestic assets as well, but the residual equity is about -98.5. So it's on this basis that he's talking about the bank being insolvent, and it's also as a result of a lot of activities that are happening. Most importantly, the one that was raised today, that has got to do with the Gold Board and of Ghana domestic gold purchase program.
But if you say that, then my next question will be, when did the minority realize that the Bank of Ghana has become technically insolvent or bankrupt, as many are putting it within your camp? Because this is not the first time that we are reporting net equity, the central bank. So what makes this one so different that you're saying that because of that, we can technically say that the Bank of Ghana is insolvent?
This country just went through an IMF program to restructure our economy, whereby Ghanaians had to fasten their seatbelt, go through the DDP, which also helped to stabilize the economy. Bawumia did start in 2021 with the domestic gold purchase program, which the focus was on refined gold as compared to the dull gold that we're dealing mostly with now. And if these issues, we raised them, if you remember correctly, in 2025, we had called the Bank of Ghana governor and the bank to come and explain issues regarding their building. But when we raised another issue that we wanted the bank to come and explain to Parliament, the bipartisan group, so that we can also ask questions, so that we don't want to incur more losses regarding programs that the bank is engaged in. You know, the majority blocked that. We've learned some lessons from the past, and we don't intend to make sure that this country goes through that losses again. If I heard correctly, partly, my other panelist was attributing some gains. Yes, nobody is using that gain. But the question is, how stable is this gain? It's more of a steroid-infused gain. Because ideally, what is really happening as far as our economy is concerned? What is the real GDP growth? What is the real productivity or the production contribution of our Ghanaian citizenry to our economy, with the exception of what we are seeing? In fact, we are talking about gold here, and look at how devastating Galamsey is contributing to our country right now. And if we are to go on this for the next 3-4 years, now that we are even implementing GANRAP, which is focusing on 80% of gold from the small-scale miners, artisanal mining, now that we also don't have the traceability of where this gold is coming from, that doesn't mean nobody is saying we are buying Galamsey gold. But the question is, where is the Galamsey gold going? Do you understand? So all this put together, and the issues that we raised, when we raised and requested that we have a bipartisan interrogation of gold board operations in Parliament, the majority blocked that motion that we filed. We filed the motion in Parliament, but it was blocked. Okay, now the $240 million that was a loss, as now that each one is shifting blame, whether it should be on the books of Gold Board or it should be on the books of Bank of Ghana, we're still having to record $1.7 billion. The $1.7 billion loss that we recorded here, like losing 17%.
Right. Speaking of Gold Board, the outfit CEO, Sami Genthi, has continually denied the accusations, especially from the minority, that his outfit, Ghana Gold Board, is making losses. But the minority is doubling down through, especially the press conference that was held today, that Gold Board is indeed making losses. It's quite interesting because if you look at Gold Board's 2025 audited accounts, it shows about 5.4 billion Ghana cedis in overall
surplus and then 5.6 billion in net assets. So is it the case that the minority knows something that we do not know? That is why people are really debating and questioning where you are getting the figures and the assumption that Gold Board is making losses.
Nobody is disputing what he's saying. But I believe you are also not disputing what the IMF has identified. Am I correct? The IMF has identified that $1.7 billion have been lost as a result of the domestic gold purchase program, right? So my question, which is equivalent to 1.5% of GDP. So the question I'm asking you, whose books should that loss be? If the bank is ready to accept that that loss is as a result of their own bad operational activity, then of course we can agree. But we cannot discard. We have lost as much as 70% of our dough gold that was purchased. We cannot dispute the fact that $1.7 billion is vanished. So the question we are all asking is that we are coming back. We are going to put in a interrogate, where is the $1.7 billion?
Right. That's a bigger question that Sami Jenfi will be providing answers to on Government's Accountability Series later tomorrow. And thank you very much. You heard there Fred Che Asamoah is the MP for Ofinsun North and also a member on the Economy and Development Committee. And earlier we heard from Professor Godfred Bokmin, who is an economist.